This is Cap and Jay Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap Jay Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
So, there's a really, really wonderful radio show over the weekend that I try to listen to a lot. It's Shea Pepler with her sidekick. And she's so good and in control of that show.
I don't think it's called Shea Pepler and her sidekick.
I think that's what they call it.
No, I don't think they call it that.
Yeah. And the sidekick said he calls himself Basketball Buddha.
Yes.
And his wife and the lead voice on the show, Shea Pepler, said, nobody calls you that. I love that she keeps him in line. Jordan, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Hoodie, it's good to talk to you, man. Hoodie, I hope you're doing well. Hoodie, I hope your bracket is getting lined up and you're doing well. And that other guy, hello to you, too.
What's up, my man? How are you?
What's up, brother? How are you, Capper? It's the best time of the year. It'll be hard-pressed to find me not with a smile on my face this time of the year. It's a beautiful time. I'm glad we're in position to have this tournament, and I hope all the teams that have their names called will get a chance to play.
I guess the first thing, Jordan, before we even dive in, the way we started our show an hour ago, we were talking about how it's just a blessing to even have an NCAA tournament. You remember where we were this time last year with COVID-19 and not having anything. There was a big hole in the schedule without the NCAA tournament. How does it feel for you personally to know that we actually have a bracket to break down?
Well, it's fantastic. I mean, to hear Greg Gumbel up there revealing the tournament names and to see Clark Kellogg, who's still got minutes in him up there on the desk, going through it, made everything feel right. And to me, I sat there, I said to Shea while we were watching, and I said this on the radio yesterday, like, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to these athletes, these 18 to 22-year-old young men who made all these sacrifices, remained diligent, vigilant, and disciplined for us to have this. They are the most important class of athletes in the history of college sports because of what they took on to make sure we could play this year, to go through all the COVID protocol, the testing, the isolation, the sacrifice. And look, everybody's doing it across the country, no question. But in the realm and the prism of sports, for them to make those sacrifices as 18-year-olds, I remember when I was playing at Notre Dame, Hoodie, and on Christmas breaks, the student population would leave, and we'd be on campus for a few days before we moved off campus as a team. And I remember during those 2 days of winter break when it was just me in my dorm room going to practice, come back to my empty dorm on an empty campus, depression levels were at an all-time high. I was like, this is awful. I didn't sign up for this. These athletes are doing that for months on end that make this thing happen. They're the most important athletes in the history of college sports for keeping this thing afloat, keeping people like me with jobs. And I'm excited to see it pay off and a reward happen for them this month.
Okay, so let's talk about the bracket and how things shook out, because it wouldn't be a Selection Sunday without hearing people whine and complain, oh my God, Loyola's got to play Illinois in the second round. Worry about Georgia Tech first. And Illinois, worry about Drexel, and then we could deal with the next round. And I think it's awesome that they got a chance to play. But who do you think has the easiest road to the Final Four of the one seeds?
Well, it's got to be Gonzaga. Because Gonzaga's gotten their 2 and 3 seeds there, and Danny might disconnect my line here, but Gonzaga out of the West, they've already beaten those two teams. They're 2 seed and 3 seed in their bracket. Now, granted, it was earlier on in the season, but a familiarity with an opponent is massive when you look at your path and your ability to survive in advance. So to have film on two teams that you know how to beat, that takes a lot of the blowout for a team like Gonzaga. To be honest, a team that I still don't believe, despite so many thinking so, that they're the team to beat in this tournament.
So, Jordan, some of the feedback that we've gotten from Loyola fans is they feel like the 8 seed is not fair. They feel like there should be a higher seed. Well, when it comes to the Valley, is the 8 seed the highest that they could ever have, whether it's Drake or Loyola?
Well, I think there's a drop-off from Drake because of injuries late in the season. And when you're in a conference like that in this COVID era, you sort of have the opportunities to go out like for Loyola, like go out and get those wins other places. So, yeah, Hoodie, like you're saying, because of conference strength, strength of conference is, I believe, the proper term, there was going to be a ceiling this year. That was the first thing I tweeted out. I thought they got hosed as an 8 seed because I thought they should have been higher, but it speaks to the conference, the inability to get outside of it. That being said, this Loyola team, to me, having watched them really closely, I think is better than the team from 2018. And it's a more favorable path because they're not a double-digit seed this year. But when you have to run into potentially in your second game the team that I think is going to win the national championship, that makes it a little bit more difficult. On top of that, the team they play in the first round, I believe, is arguably the best team in the ACC. So they did no favors to Loyola Chicago in this tournament in their past.
So you're saying that Loyola has better talent than an 8 seed, but then we take a look at Clemson as a 7. You see teams like Tennessee, there's San Diego State and others. You believe that they are that Loyola is on the same wavelength as those teams ahead of them?
Absolutely. I think if they played Clemson in a 5-game series, I go with Loyola winning 3 of the 5. San Diego State's a little bit different because how well they defend. I think San Diego State may be a little bit better of a team there, but in the same neighborhood, no question. And if you would have told me, I was going into this expecting Loyola Chicago to be a 6 seed, to be honest. And if you would have flopped them with San Diego State or Clemson, I don't think there would have been an uproar by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I look at it, and look, I do the Valley. I love that league. I have a great time doing those games. But when you're playing some of the schools that you play, it is going to affect your seeding because of strength of schedule.
Here's the thing. This is what we do. This is what fans do. They could talk about those. But at the end of the day, any win that you get in this bracket is an elevated win. It's a quad one win, which means it's a difficult win. So no matter where you're seeded, to get to a Final Four, to get to an Elite Eight, a Sweet 16, you're going to beat teams that are really good. So we are really splicing hairs here to say, is Loyola Chicago an 8 seed, a 7 seed, a 6 seed? You have to go out there and win a tough game against anybody.
Agreed.
If you're 6, the 11 you're playing is going to be tough. I mean, if you're 7, the 10 is going to be tough. It's going to be a tough path. I just think the biggest thing for Loyola to be upset about is we got to see Illinois. The team, again, I'm telling everybody in my belief, and again, anything's possible, but Illinois is the best team in the country. So to have to see them the second time around ain't the best way to go. But I wouldn't get too caught up in the seed for where they're at.
So styles makes fights, as we all know. And so, Jordan, in your gut, do you feel like we'll, because of COVID, it's a little different, obviously, this year versus others. Do you feel like we'll have more upsets? I'll give you an example. Like, right, I haven't filled a bracket out yet, but I'm looking at Arkansas and Colgate. Two teams can get up and down the floor and score. So, now again, it's Colgate. I saw them just as of late win their particular conference. Do you feel that we'll have more upsets than normal because of what we're going through with COVID?
Yeah, they won that Patriot League. Matt Langle does a great job out there. It's going to be high scoring. I just think Arkansas is really good defensively, too. Mm-hmm. Justin Smith, one of the guys that transferred from Indiana, has really given them a boost with that squad. And they had lost since mid-January until they lost in this conference tournament in the SEC. So they're playing really good basketball. It could very well happen, Hoodie. That's one that I think a lot of people are going to circle. I look at Virginia and I look at Ohio in that first round game, 4-13 game. And it's even if Virginia was full strength, even if Virginia was sending their whole team, which it seems like they're not going to be in this first round game. But Ohio, Illinois fans remember who Ohio is. Is Illinois snuck by with a 2-point win earlier this season. But Jason Preston, the guard for Ohio, is a pro. 6'4 guy, does it all on the floor. He's a walking bucket. 5 guys in double figures for that Ohio team. And I just don't think Virginia, even at full strength, is the Virginia team that we're used to seeing in years past. Gosh, my voice. So I think that's an upset to key in on, too. Contrasting styles and which team is better at dictating tempo and making it the game they want to make it. Ohio is one I give an advantage to if people are seeking one of those possible upsets early on.
Our guy is busy. You could hear it in his voice.
Yeah.
When you're carrying Dylan, Dylan Cuff and Crispin on a Saturday, he's got radio. He's got a tough schedule.
But I think when you're walking around just going, yes, Shay, you're right, Shay, that just wears on the voice.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, I'm tired in all aspects. It's been putting me to work, building cribs, getting the baby room set up. Is April 28th is rapidly upon us here. So it's a great time. I actually get to work tonight. I'm going down to we're doing a tournament challenge on ESPN2 for 3 hours from 8 to 11. I'm sharing some of the hosting duties on that, and it'll be with the game day crew and Dallin and Sean Fardham as well. So I hope people check that out. Then I'm going down to the bubble. I'll be in the bubble come tomorrow. I'm going down there and CBS is using me for radio on that side. So it's going to be a really exciting time.
So here's a stat for you. Two teams in the entire field have a winning record. I mean, have an undefeated record against teams with a winning record. Can you name those two?
I hate this kind of stuff. You know what Mel Kiper said one time, I think, and I thought it was great. Trivia is trivial. His dad told me he doesn't do trivia. Cap, I don't know. Just tell me. I didn't come on the radio this morning to be quizzed.
Oh, like, my God.
He loves... Danny, I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah, no,
that would be Gonzaga and Winthrop. And I think Winthrop is moving on and beating Villanova, who lost Gillespie, their point guard, to a season-ending knee injury. Very sad. But I think Winthrop at 23-1 is moving on.
Did he just want to show that he knew something that I did? Like, what was the idea there?
Well, the idea is that he loves his sports radio, vintage 1992. That's why, because trivia is always good for the radio. Instead of educating us, guess what I know what you don't know? Ah, take that. Okay, great. Now what?
Wow.
There's no end to that bit.
I will pay off your pop quiz time here on a Monday morning with Winthrop is a team, and Pat Kelsey, who's a good friend of mine, he's a Cincinnati guy, an Elder grad. He's going to be a hot name. He's going to be floating around a lot of these jobs that pop up. It's just a matter of which one he wants. But DJ Burns, their big guy. Winthrop is a team that is great defensively, great offensively. They're top two. They're number one in efficiency on both sides of the ball in their conference there in the Big South. They only lost one game, 23-1, like you said. But DJ Burns down low is a high-level Division I talent. And Pat Kelsey grabbed me when they played Duke 2 years ago. I did the game. He goes, watch out for this guy. If I can keep him at Winthrop, he's going to be a star. He is a star. He's a lefty down low. He plays beneath the rim. He's got that old YMCA game. But he's surrounded by four shooters, so you got to guard him one-on-one in isolation. He wins those 1v1s. Winthrop is a good pick to key in on.
All right, I like that. And lastly, and we appreciate your time, out of these number one seeds, which one is likely to fall? We talked earlier about Livers in Michigan. We talked about Baylor with their COVID issues. What do you see here?
You know, I think it's got to be Michigan. And I hate saying this because I believe Michigan is coming into this pre-injury of Isaiah Livers. I thought Michigan was the best team in the country. So I shifted from if Isaiah Livers is at 100%, which it doesn't look like he will be. He's their closer. He's their go-to guy. Without him, they are markedly different. It showed when Mike Smith took that last-second shot versus Ohio State. They were confused. Livers wasn't on the floor. They didn't know who to go to. So I could see Michigan getting knocked off as early as maybe even in that second round versus an upstart St. Bonaventure team or an LSU team that really showed yesterday. Now, if Isaiah Livers comes and plays and balls out, different story, because one I'm starting to look really closely to in the South is Baylor, as great as they are. I could see Purdue, the 4 seed, knocking them off in the Elite Eight. So that's another one to look in on. I really like Purdue. I'm going to spend the day thinking about, do I have Purdue getting to the Final Four? I'm very high on the Big Ten in general, but who Purdue looks like was Zach Edey at 7'4", 7'4", coming off the bench. And Cap, I've got a quiz for you. Who is the last 7'4" guy to come off the bench for Purdue?
Last 7'4" guy to come off the bench for Purdue. They've never
there
had.
There wasn't one. Trivia stupid.
Thank you.
That's what my point is.
There you go. I answered. I got it right. Take that. By the way, I could easily see a path where St. Bonaventure beats LSU and knocks out Michigan to go to the Sweet 16.
Well, I could definitely see it. Watching them play, they attack downhill. They're great in transition. A bunch of skill guys who are catch and shoot guys that excel in the catch spot. I really think that could happen, but they've got to get past LSU first. I think that 8-9 game in general, whoever wins that game could be some on the precipice of something special with some momentum. It's just sometimes it's about that first matchup and can they get through it. That'll be one of the more entertaining games, that 8-9. I agree.
I'm proud of you, brother. Keep it going.
Thanks, buddy. I really appreciate it, man. You guys know what I think about you guys, how I look up to you guys. And Cap, without you, man, I wouldn't have my start, brother. You know that.
Dude, you know I love you. I had dinner with him a couple weeks ago, and yeah, I'm very
picked
proud.
He picked up the bill, too. He picked up the bill, hoodie.
Take that.
That's a write-off. Don't worry about it. Don't take it as a compliment, believe me.
Well, I miss you guys, man, more than anything. And the guy I really miss is Danny Z back there running the controls, man. So you guys be well. Please have me back on through the tournament.
Yeah, we'd love to, and please tell the boss in the house, Shay, we said hello. We love her.
She is over here. She is over here lining up a honey-do list for me right now.
Go get him. We'll see you tonight.
All right, love you guys.
Love you. See ya. There he is, the great Jordan Cornette from ESPN. So we'll, through the next couple days, give you some of the thoughts we have for upsets. Don't sleep on that same Bonnie team. They're really good, but LSU is loaded with talent.
He sounds like he's been through the ESPN car wash.
Yes.
He's got to get that CBS deal. Just work once, go home.
That's it. That's it. Hey, a former NFL GM says Russell Wilson to the Bears makes a ton of sense. You heard that right. You'll hear it next.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So NFL free agency hits the table on the 17th. But legal flirting opens today. Today, we'll start hearing,
oh, they talked to who, and they might have a deal in principle, and
all of that. Bears converted a bunch of salaries into signing bonuses, which gave them adding $23 million in cap space to what they've already done. They have not made the Bobby Massey release official, but there's a lot of speculation out there. They got more moves coming to clear a ton of room. Mike Tannenbaum, who's been a guest with us multiple times, he was the GM of the Jets and the Dolphins. He now works for ESPN. He's also been a well-known agent working for the awesome Mark Bartlestein here in Chicago. Well, Mike was on KJZ, had this to say about Russell Wilson. Pay attention, Bear fans.
Yeah, and I think Russell Wilson, what's interesting to me is this story continues to have legs, so I don't think if he's going to leave Seattle, I think it's more a question of when. I think it'd be hard to do this year because Seattle would be stuck with a $39 million cap charge. So a couple of weeks ago, we'd say that was crazy in terms of we could look at Goff and Wentz and the dead money that both the Rams and the Eagles have. But I would say that in a year from now, the Saints can make a ton of sense because we'll see how it goes with Jameis Winston. But if Russell Wilson was traded to be, it all lines up with Chicago. Chicago is desperate. They would literally give Seattle whatever they wanted. He thrived when he was at the University of Wisconsin, knows that part of the country. And if I'm Russell Wilson, I want to be coached by an offensive guy in Matt Nagy. I've been with Pete Carroll my whole career. So if something happened this year, to me, the one team that makes all the sense in the world are the Bears.
How about that?
Great. I still don't understand it. You have not given me, or these experts have not given me, a real reason why that this can't be worked out. I'm not against him being with the Bears. Mm-hmm. Let me put that up front. Yeah, of course you want a franchise quarterback. But just from Seattle's standpoint, I don't understand why you'd rather start over and lose than to win with a winner in Russell Wilson.
Because from what I've been told, they believe privately we're not good enough to win. And we can get a whole slew of picks because we gave away two first-rounders for Jamal Adams. We have to be honest with ourselves. We are not winning, and we're not satisfied going 10-6 and making the playoffs. This isn't Chicago.
Well, the whole falsehood of that is you are winning.
Not championships.
But you're winning.
But they don't believe they're built to win a championship. That's what I was told this weekend.
Okay. I mean, a number of teams, you can't stop trying. Perfect example is the Packers here this weekend, right? The one thing that you'll never hear me say, and you can mark me on this, I'll never say, you know, the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, you know, Rodgers didn't have enough weapons. Oh, no, they got enough weapons now. They got Jones. They got the wide receiver that they want. Bakhtiari signed for the long haul. So they take care of the offensive line. So I'm not going to say the Packers don't have the weapons to be able to win. At least they're trying every year. I'm sure the Packers could also say, you know, with Aaron Rodgers, we're limited. I mean, as good as he is, as good as Russell Wilson is, they both won, what, one championship? Mm-hmm. They're both very good. The Packers also could fold 10 and be like, yeah, you know what? There's a ceiling on our success. Screw this. We're going to get rid of Aaron Rodgers, get younger, just get Love in there. No. You know why? Because they add. Because they're smart enough to realize that Rodgers is a Hall of Famer. Just like Seattle should realize that Wilson's a Hall of Famer. He walked away today, he's a Hall of Famer at some point in his career.
No doubt.
That's why I just don't just fold my cards and say, you know what? 4-12 is better. It's not. It's just not. But from the Bears' standpoint, man, I hope that happens. I hope it happens because we really need someone to come in here and make a difference for this offense, not just for a year, Cap. like the one-offs that we've talked about, the Kramers, the Millers, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about guys for the next 5 to 10 years that can help the Bears get to where they want to be.
Here is Dan Orlovsky on that same KJZ show talking about a three-team scenario. Again, listen up, Bears fans.
Yeah, so how do the Bears get Russell Wilson? And they've got to stop, and we have to all stop thinking it's just the Bears and the Seattle Seahawks involved. It's got to kind of be, it takes three to tango. And if I was the Bears, I got a desperate need at the most important position, right? So I call, I don't have the ability to replace Russell Wilson. So I call the New York Jets and I'll go, okay, if we send you Khalil Mack and Kyle Fuller, two great defensive players, and our first round pick for this year, will we then be able to send you those three guys? And then you take, the New York Jets take Sam Darnold, your 23rd pick this year, so you keep the second pick, your two first-rounders next year, and send them to Seattle, and then Seattle sends Chicago Russell Wilson.
Mm.
So, like, it's almost NBA-like, right, Jay? And so yeah, we've got to stop thinking, like, how do the Bears do it and only including those two teams? They've got to get creative, and they've got to get courageous. And so I think, like, finding three teams to be a part of it is the best way for the Bears to pull it off.
So that's Dan Orlovsky talking about the Jets, the Bears, and the Seahawks.
You know that's ridiculous, right? You know that's ridiculous, what he just told you.
To make a three-team deal like that?
It's just ridiculous.
Okay.
So it's not the NBA, one. And two, you can't get on the air and not know the salary situation. You know it better than anybody. You know Mac's deal is not movable.
And now they accelerated all that into a signing bonus. Does that make it easier to trade him? I don't believe that's the case. And I would be surprised if he's in that deal.
That wasn't Dan Orlovsky. It was Dan from Rolling Meadows.
So
caller. So I mean, what was that? Explain. Don't hit the button. Explain that.
I don't know exactly. I think he was spitballing. Just going, well, they need a quarterback. You don't have one. They don't want Nick Foles. Trubisky's out of there. So call the Jets. Give them a bunch. Get Darnold. Spin him to Seattle. And then get back Russell Wilson. No. Again, Colin Cowherd. Colin Cowherd,
He's
pretty well connected, especially out in that area, out in the Pacific Northwest.
So here's the very latest. I'm told the Chicago Bears are trying to make a move on Russell Wilson, and they're trying to create a move that is so good Seattle can't say no. Now, Seattle would ideally not want to trade him to an NFC team. And this situation is Russell Wilson wants more say and thinks Seattle's offensive line and Pete's outdated offense are the reasons they're struggling. Pete Carroll thinks that Russell Wilson is responsible for a lot of the problems and interceptions. That's not going to change. That's how they see the world. My feeling's always been, fellas, get over it and just deal with your tension. Brady and Belichick had tension. Get over it. But now I have no idea how Chicago is going to make this work. They don't have a quarterback to give Seattle, and they don't have a great draft pick to give Seattle because they made the playoffs. Is giving up Russell Wilson ideal? No, and they'd like him to go to the AFC over the NFC, and Chicago knows that. Seattle's not too caught up, I'm told, on the dead money stuff. They don't care about that for a year. They don't. They'd like to get Russell to the AFC. So Chicago's trying to make it work, and keep your eye on Sam Darnold. That's how Seattle gets their quarterback.
What else did Wanstead say to Colin? Right, Miller? I mean, it's like...
I'm glad we left out the part where Colin proposed the Bears giving up 5 first-round picks, which is not possible.
Correct. Correct. Not allowed by rule.
Other than that, though, the idea is great.
The world's trying to help the Bears. Well, God bless them. Someone's got to help the Bears. And Ryan Pace can't help the Bears. Let's have everybody try to help the Bears.
Right.
Seriously.
One last thing. Jeremy Fowler on SportsCenter. Bears and Wilson.
Well, the expectation league-wide is that Chicago is going to try to take a big swing here to get Russell. Now, Seattle has given no clear indication that they're going to trade him. Russell Wilson himself still does not expect to be traded, but Chicago's going to at least try to make that change and put together a package. That's what most people around the league do expect. I'm told Russell Wilson is intrigued by Chicago's market, offensive-minded head coach, and an emerging offensive line. But make no mistake, Chicago has scoured the earth the last few weeks for their quarterback options. They're looking at everything, trade, free agency, draft. So at the end, it could result in a gun for hire, so to speak, with a Ryan Fitzpatrick or an Andy Dalton. Somebody they know is not a long-term answer, but can be a bridge, get him through another year. Really, the goal in Chicago is simple. Get their first 4,000-yard passer in franchise history, however they have to do it.
There you go. That's all the latest. And the Bears are, from what I was told by someone who would know over the weekend, hey, man, they're all in. They've gone to George. They've gone to Ted. Doug Peterson put the kibosh in Matt's ear on Carson Wentz. Yep. So they never made an offer.
Fair.
What I was told was Doug Peterson had a long conversation with his dear friend Matt Nagy and said, run as far and as fast as you can in the other direction. You don't want that guy, period.
All right.
And now it is George and Ted have given their blessing to Ryan and Matt, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, whatever the price is, pay it.
So, George and Ted, here's what we have here. We're going to get Russell Wilson. Now, we're not going to have anyone playing defense, but we're going to get rid of five of our defensive players and we'll have no future. Well, I have a letter here.
Well, Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
The letter here says, this is from Bill. He's a longtime season ticket holder for the Bears. He says, dear George, sell the effing team. I responded to him and I said, sir, I'm going to keep the team for a while. Go Bears.
Bear down.
Bear down. And I put a stamp on it and I sent it out to the post office. And that's the one-on-one communication that we have. Bears fans are passionate. We know we didn't get the quarterback position right. We've got boobs running our organization. But you know what? The pie is still cooling on the windowsill.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
This Nagy guy.
Don't forget about the fish fry on Friday. It's going to be great at the local church.
Drew Brees is hanging up the cleats. Where does he rank all time? Next. Take that.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
So Drew Brees is hanging him up. He took out a full-page ad in the New Orleans Times-Picayune, I believe is the name of their newspaper.
That is correct.
His kids, in an adorable video, were all four in Drew Brees gear, sitting on the couch, and they each had a line they had to say, and then you get to spend more time with us. And he is done after 20 seasons in the NFL. Guy had a hell of a career, man.
Great way for him to go out. And, Danny, we speculated on the future for Drew Brees. We saw him with his new hair, and we saw him in the workout video a couple weeks ago. We wondered, is he coming back with the new hair? And we come to find out he had the new hair ready for NBC, and so he's going to hang him up. So the question is, so where do we place him amongst the best, right? I'll go modern day first with you, Jeff, and I'll just say, okay, would you rather have Drew Brees' career or Patrick Mahomes today? Who's been more impressive?
Well, oof. I mean, Brees, just because Mahomes is so, he's in the infancy of his career. Right, I'd have to say I want Brees' career, but I think there's a very strong likelihood that within a couple of years it'll slant in Patrick Mahomes' direction.
Brees better than Lamar Jackson?
Yes.
Brees better than Russell Wilson?
Yes. Right now, yes.
Yes.
The Bears' next quarterback, he's better than?
The body of his career, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Dak Prescott, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
Okay. Matt Stafford.
Yes.
Okay. Carson Wentz.
Yes.
Okay. Brady's still playing. He's the greatest. And then Ben Roethlisberger.
That's close.
Drew Brees, a better career than Ben Roethlisberger?
I think so. I know they're, you know, Ben's got two Super Bowl rings to Brees' one. But I just think in terms of, like, when you're going to look back on the history of quarterbacks, Brees is going to be higher on most people's list than Ben.
Let me ask you a question. When it's all said and done and Sean Payton is done as a head coach and he's retired counting his millions, will we look back and say, well, they squandered one of the 10 greatest quarterbacks of all time. They won one freaking ring. One.
I won't. You know why? I think they got completely screwed in the game against the Rams. Remember the
pass interference
call.
Okay, but that's 1 year. He was a quarterback for 20 seasons. What, 18 of them in New Orleans?
Yep.
You won one ring.
Tom Brady, in the meantime, has won seven. He was collecting rings. A lot of people, in the same way that Michael Jordan prevented a lot of great players from winning rings.
He only played one Super Bowl. Didn't even get out of the NFC with that guy other than one time.
But they won it once. And again, remember, too, the Minnesota Miracle. That was like a... They lost on some weird plays in the playoffs.
Those are excuses. Played 20 years. 18 in that city.
So how many rings is enough? Is a second ring, would that have been enough?
How about a second appearance? Never even got out of the NFC. If I told you that you would have Brett Favre, he played what, 19 years? Mm-hmm. 18, whatever it was. Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. Three of the 10 greatest quarterbacks, and they've each won one time.
Yeah, the Brees conversation, getting close to talking about the Aaron Rodgers conversation. Pretty closely here.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. Right?
Okay, but Aaron never wins again. Do they look back and go, what, we squandered two of the greatest of all time. We each won one.
Okay, you said Roethlisberger's career better than Brees, or you say Brees is better than
Brees over Ben.
Okay, how about Kurt Warner against Drew Brees?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The longevity for Brees, it still tilts. I'd rather have his career.
Okay.
Warner had three Super Bowl appearances, two different teams.
Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees?
Oh, I'm taking Rodgers. I'd rather have Rodgers' career.
Favre or Drew Brees?
I'm going Drew Brees.
Yes, I think Brees as well.
Okay. And Peyton Manning definitely over Drew Brees.
Yeah, yes. I'll take Peyton's career.
And Steve Young over Drew Brees?
No, I think I'd rather be so. Brees. I'd rather
Joe
Brees'
Montana,
career.
Probably.
But not Steve Young.
No.
Same thing. He got, you know, short, like kind of like Kurt Warner. I think Young and Warner, if they had a chance to play longer in the systems initially that they were, where they had a lot of their success, you would say, okay. Brees is fortunate in that the timing that he was able to hook up with Sean Payton and the Saints, it went on for 15 years. Like, Kurt Warner's, you know, that whole Rams, you know, greatest show on turf fell apart rather quickly when you look at it in the grand scheme of things. And then Steve Young had to wait and bide his time mm-hmm. behind Joe Montana for so long. But I think Steve Young, had he gotten an opportunity, if he didn't have to waste years in Tampa Bay, if Bill Walsh had gotten his hands on Steve Young earlier in his career,
yeah.
I think we might be talking about Steve Young as the greatest of all time.
Now, see, the reason why I'm just trying to figure out from you guys, what box do you put Brees in, right? If you think Kurt Warner's career is better or more accomplished than Drew Brees, just trying to figure out, is Brees top 20? Is he
top 20 quarterback?
Yeah.
Oh, he's way higher than that.
Top 10.
Yes.
He's right around that, I think, like
10?
Through 7 through 10 somewhere, I think, is where he gets
And you're right. I said 17, 18 years. He was 15 full seasons. You look at his numbers in San Diego, like that's what every GM is tasked with. Find that guy, the guy that they let walk out of San Diego for nothing, and look at his numbers. His completion percentage, his first year he only played one game, but then 60%, 57%, 65%, 64%, and they went, yeah, you're out of here. His passer ratings of the full seasons, 76.9, 67.5, an outlier, it looked like, 104.8, back to 89, and they went, you're out.
For me, Hoodie, there's a pretty clear six that I'd rather be above Drew Brees. I'd rather have their career. I'd rather be Tom Brady. I think everybody would agree with
yep.
that. Joe Montana.
Yep.
John Elway.
Yep.
Peyton Manning.
Yep.
Now, this is where you might put Dan Marino, even without the Super Bowl.
Fine.
Yes.
And then I would throw in Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, so Drew is at seven.
So Drew Brees better than Jim Kelly?
Yeah, because of the unfortunately for Jim, I think it's the fact that they won against Peyton Manning.
I love my chances four times in the Super Bowl. I know Levy couldn't knock it down, but boy, you were there
four times.
So here's the big question: Line two is the big question.
Uh-huh.
With a name we have not mentioned.
All right, we'll get to it. 312-332-3776. Your calls. Where does Drew Brees rank all time? Plus the Bears quarterback search. It's all next.
Take that.
Scratch.
your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
All right, so we're asking that question. Where is Drew Brees on the all-time quarterback list? Because you go through his numbers, man, they're pretty damn impressive.
Surprised we haven't heard from our buddy Matt from River North on this. It's usually right. This is his alley.
Yeah.
He'll give us some Buffalo Bill.
Correct.
I remember, Cap, 1970s. Like, where's Matt River North?
Right. John Hadle.
So,
for the Chargers.
Before we go to the phones, there's one name we did not mention, and that is Troy Aikman. All right, Meller. Troy Aikman, Dallas Cowboy, great, versus Drew Brees.
I mean, if you're asking whose career would I rather have, maybe I would lean towards Troy personally because he has three Super Bowl rings for the most iconic franchise in the National Football League. But in terms of when I look at the players, I think Drew Brees had his career, the passing stats, passing numbers that he compiled. Yeah. I think that's more impressive.
It's a different offense, though.
Exactly.
I mean, Aikman and the Dallas Cowboys ran the football a ton.
I don't know. I don't think Troy ever threw for more than 25 touchdowns in a season.
Troy never threw for, one year he had 23, and no other year did he ever throw 20.
And, they leaned on that great offensive line and behind, Emmitt Smith. And you should that's how good your running game is. And he was a great leader and, he was very good on the play action pass. He was a good quarterback. But, it's hard to really evaluate Troy Aikman in comparison to all the other seven or eight names that we listed.
Like his passer ratings? He had
different era.
Never had 100.
88.
He only had two in the 90s, and everything else was in the 70s, 80s, and his last year in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. Let's go to Eddie first on the north side. Edward, what's up, Sparky?
Hey guys, how you doing?
What's up,
Eddie? You guys are missing a guy. When you win two Super Bowls and you take it off of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, you had a better career than Drew Brees. I don't care what anybody says. It's about winning Super Bowls, period. If the Bears got Russell Wilson and he played 10 years with the Bears but didn't get us a Super Bowl, then it was a bad trade.
Okay, you're talking about Eli?
Eli Manning, absolutely.
Oh, stop. Okay, he won two and Drew won one. Yes, Eli. Eli was on a Vegas heater.
The best quarterback of all time.
Who is?
He won him against Tom Brady, the best quarterback of all time, and probably the best head coach in the National Football League of all time.
Yeah, but he had tremendous, tremendous defense that helped him. Yeah, he made some plays in the Super Bowl. No question, he was the MVP. But go back through his numbers. Stop yourself. Their
numbers don't matter. Aikman's better than him, too.
No.
I don't care. He's got three Super Bowls.
No. That's shot. It. We'll agree to disagree.
Okay. Have
all right.
Day, guys.
Love you. See
all
ya. Right, all right. 312-332-3776. Justin's in LaGrange. Hey, Justin.
Hey, good morning. Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
What's up, Justin?
Nothing much. Just first off, I was like, Drew Brees is definitely bottom top 10 for me. That's, out of no disrespect, he's bottom top 10 for me. But I would like to say that if the Bears don't get the guy that we want, please let somebody who I know went to Coach Nagy during the season and said I can play quarterback better than Mitch to be the quarterback, please.
Who?
I don't care. Anybody, Allen Robinson, somebody with some skills, some swag, somebody who can throw the ball to the fast guy with moves in front of him and not behind. Nobody slow. Don't go out and get Josh Rosen. Don't get nobody that we don't want.
All right, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Wow.
What? He said he doesn't want Josh Rosen, man.
Who?
Josh Rosen.
Yeah, but he said somebody that went to Coach Nagy said we're better than Mitch. I don't think anybody went to Coach Nagy like Allen Robinson said I'm better than Mitch. Because that's just silly. Silly.
Like this show.
Correct. Ron in Tinley Park. What's up, Ron? How are you,
What's
dog?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Hey, Ron.
statistically, I'm putting Drew Brees the best of all time. But in terms of career, if it wasn't for, you know, Brett Favre throwing that stupid play over the middle, Drew Brees doesn't reach a Super Bowl. So I put him probably bottom 10, maybe 11 all time. Because I'm not putting him out of Montana, Elway, even Ben, you know, so probably between 9 and 11 all time.
All right. I can't disagree with you. He fits right about there. All right, we'll get back to more of this. The head coach of your Fighting Illini. That's right, our guy, Brad Underwood, in 2 minutes.
Steve McNair?
Excuse me?